Who is ready to hear the word this morning? Come on now. Yes? Hallelujah. I'm ready. If you're not, I'm ready. I'm hoping that we are all ready to hear the word. Glory be to God. You know, the Bible talks about how the word became flesh. It talks about he abode, he stayed amongst his people. And the word became flesh. And they beheld the word. They touched the word. They experienced the word. Hallelujah. And today, the same thing should happen as we sit under the ministry of the word. The word should become a reality in our lives. Something must change because of the word. And usually, change happens because of your expectation. Your attitude determines what the word will do in your life. Because two people can sit under the same ministry. One remains the same, another one gets changed. Just because of their attitude towards the word. And right now, I want us to set the tone by praying. Pray for yourself and say, Lord, do not pass me by. Whatever you have planned for me today, I want to receive it. Pray for the spirit of revelation. Pray for understanding. Shall we do so? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the preaching of your word. I thank you for wisdom. I thank you for revelation. I thank you for the entrance of your word, that it brings light, it brings understanding to those of a simple heart. This morning we pray, Father, that you'd speak to your people. We pray that what you have prepared for each and every one of us can be deposited in our hearts. We pray that our hearts could be that good soil that can take up the word, and the word can become fruitful 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, I come against every spirit of slumber, every spirit of confusion, every wandering mind. I bring into subjection right now, that each one of us can be present right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Let's go straight into the word. Let's open from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. If you've got your Bible, go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. A very, very popular scripture that we all know. That's where we are starting off this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. As we continue on our series titled Kingdom Norms and Values. Kingdom Norms and Values. I want to welcome those who are watching online. May the Lord meet up with you, engage with us, and the Lord will bless you. So Genesis 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and empty. The earth was without form and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God said, let us make man. Verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. All right? Let's go to Matthew 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. I want to hear those pages going if you've got the sanctified Bible. Okay. All right. Maybe you've got an electronic version. That's also good. Now, Matthew 5, verse 13. This is part and parcel of Jesus' teaching on the Mount. Okay. Sermon on the Mount. He says here in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and to be trodden underfoot by men. Give me the next slide. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Give me the next one. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. All right, so we looked at two portions of scriptures. And as I've alluded to, we are talking about kingdom norms and kingdom values, there are things that kingdom value, there are things that are precious to the life of a kingdom person. And these are the things that we are talking about. And this morning, we are going to explore yet another kingdom value. I'm looking forward to this one. So the title of my sermon this morning is A Call to Shape. A Call to Shape. So you and I have been called to do certain things. We've been called to shape, to bring back form where form is not present. Now let's look at that word shape a little bit, because that's the anchor, that's the point this morning, that there is a call for you to shape your environment. There is a call for you to inform your environment. And that's a value in the kingdom of God. What does it mean to shape? Now, shaping refers to gradually molding or training an organism to behave in a specific manner by modeling and encouraging the behavior. So when you're talking about shaping and forming, we are talking about encouraging an environment or encouraging somebody to behave in a certain way. And you do that by modeling the behavior, number one, and number two, by reinforcing and encouraging the behavior. That is what shaping is all about. And this morning we are talking about a call to shape. And it's a big value in the kingdom of God. So you find that where you find a Christian, you should find change. Where there is a Christian in the environment, the expectation is that if something is out of order, the Christian should influence to bring order. Come on now, somebody. So in the presence of a child of God, things cannot remain the same. All right? Why? Because there is an expectation in heaven for you to move things that are stationary. To stop things that are moving that should not be moving. The expectation of heaven is for you to bring about transformation. Why? Because you've been transformed. You've been renewed. Something changed inside of you. In other words, Christians, Bazalwani, should not behave like a thermometer, but should behave like a thermostat. Okay? Let me just remind you the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. A thermometer reads the environment. So, in our pool, we'd dip the thermometer and say, ooh, it's 10 degrees. That's all it can do. A thermometer can tell you the temperature, but cannot change the temperature. On the other hand, a thermostat regulates the temperature. So your geyser at home has got a thermostat that is set at a certain degree. Maybe it's set at 52 degrees. So what it does, it feels the environment and it says the environment is getting colder lower than 52. It ups, it allows the heating element to heat up. So it switches on the element, the temperature goes up. It goes above 52, it switches off the element, it drops. It regulates the temperature. So a thermostat does not read only, but regulates. So every believer should behave like a thermostat, where you walk into an environment and you feel something is not right. You don't leave it like that. You don't just say, well, it's hostile here. You then say, I'm going to change the hostility and bring life. Is that what we are doing today as Christians? Now, every child of God carries the DNA of God. And where you find God, you will find life. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was hovering on top of the waters. The Lord looked at the situation and said, something is not right. And the Bible tells us in verse 3, And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. So you move into an environment, you see that something is not good. Because you were created in the image of God, you have the ability to speak something different. Come on now, somebody, speak to me this morning. You see, in verse 26 in Genesis 1, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. In our own likeness, he made them. So the same way that God looked at the confusion and spoke life, when he created you, he gave you the ability to speak. That is why Paul says, I believe and therefore I speak. Many believers have not understood the power of the tongue, whereby you are able to shape the environment. You see, you can go back home after work and you find kids excited and all jolly, and you drop the wrong word, it changes the environment. And God spoke, and there was light, and the light was good. Before he spoke, there was darkness and confusion. After he spoke, there was goodness. You as a child of God, you have the capacity to change after you speak, to change situations around you. Now put this down. Kingdom culture dictates that kingdom people shape and influence their environment. That's a value of the kingdom of God. It's a norm that every child of God needs to understand wherever they are. So kingdom culture dictates that you and I should not be like thermometers, but should be like thermostats. We shape the environment. And I believe this is the life for every believer this morning. And the Lord wants to awaken the treasure that is within you. You find that sometimes we forget who we are. And from time to time, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of who we are. You see, when you stay amongst a certain people who speak in a certain way, you can become like them. But the Bible calls you church. The one who was called out and brought back into the world. So though you are in the world, you are not of the world. And therefore your thinking and your speech must be different. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, this whole issue is not about class. It's not about where you went for university or whether you've gone to tertiary or not. It's not about being an extrovert or an introvert, it's about who is inside of you. Glory be to God. You know, a lot of people will tell you, I cannot speak because I'm an introvert. You're hiding behind that. No, it's not about your makeup or your character. It's about what is inside of you. Do you have Jesus inside of you? Therefore, your traits take secondary place in your life. If you have Jesus inside of you, you have what the world needs. If you are born again, you have the solutions to the problems around you. Whether you speak English, Afrikaans, Zulu, or whatever it is, it's not even about the language, it's about what you contain inside of you. Somebody needs to have this revelation this morning. We have disqualified ourselves because of our outward appearance. And yet we have the same Jesus inside of us. That is why the Apostle Paul says, when we are in the Lord, there's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither male, there's neither female, for we are all one in Jesus. Now, Jesus identifies his disciples using three symbols. So we are talking about Jesus coming down and looking at, on earth and seeing, no, the culture here is different, and he's resetting the baton. He's resetting the environment. And then you remember the last 2 weeks we spoke about blessedness through the eyes of Jesus. And we're still in chapter 5 of Matthew, and now Jesus is now talking to his disciples and telling them who they are. Now this morning, I'm not here to tell you what you should do. I'm here to remind you of who you are. Because so many times people feel like he's just telling us what to do. No, I'm just here to remind you through the words of Jesus of who you are. The moment you know who you are, you can live your life to the full. You can maximize every situation that comes your way because you know who you are. So Jesus identifies his disciples using three symbols. Number one, let's unpack them. The three identities of a kingdom shaper. This is who we are. We are kingdom shapers. And I'm believing God that by the time we leave this morning, something would have been stirred up in your heart. So the first issue, he said to them, you are the salt of the earth. I'm sure you have heard this one being taught. But allow me to indulge you one more time this morning. When Jesus speaks to his disciples and he calls them, you are the salt of the earth. And we know the qualities of salt. Salt is a preservative. Okay? It preserves from time immemorial. I grew up in an environment where at some point we did not have electricity. And we used to salt our fish in order to allow it to live, to stay fresh longer, so to speak. Now, I'm giving away my background. I come from a rural area where we used to salt the meat because there was no power to power up a refrigerator. So I fully understand this aspect of salt being a preservative, whereby we would apply salt on the meat bought from the butchery so that we can have this meat for the coming 3 weeks. Back in the days. And this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples, that you are a preservative. Where salt is, there is preservation of life. And secondly, salt is a disinfectant. Okay? When you are cut and you apply salt, something happens. It is very sore when you put salt on it, but it quickly dries out. Why? Because by nature, salt dries out the wound. Salt dries out the meat. And for bacteria to grow, there has to be water. So when you apply salt to the wound, or you apply salt to the meat, it dries out the water. And as a result, flies can no longer come there. Bacteria cannot thrive in a dry environment. And that is why Jesus says, you are a disinfectant. As a child of God, you are the salt of the earth. You are needed. Why? Because by nature, the world deteriorates. The world degenerates. If the world is left by itself, it will turn into chaos. And thirdly, salt brings out flavor. Okay? I know the ladies had a meeting a couple of weeks ago where the dietitian was saying salt is bad for you. Okay? Too much salt is bad for you. Well, yeah, too much salt is bad for you. But just the right amount gets you flavor in your food. How many times have you said, just a little bit of salt, a pinch of salt just changes that plate of food? And I want you to realize this morning that as you walk around as salt, there is an expectation, number one, for you to preserve your environment. Number two, for you to stop the rot that is going on. Number three, for you to enable the goodness in environment to come out. My question this morning is this. In your work environment, when you are present, is there more good or there is less good? You know, there are people who are just prone to get into quarrels. They just have a thing about stirring up the pot the wrong way. But I want you to know the Bible calls you the salt of the earth. Put this down. A child of God acts as a disinfectant to the rot that goes on around the community. You see, there are some things that should not be heard about me. Because some things are not in line with this whole issue of preserving. And as we are seated this morning, may the Lord play back stuff that has been going on in your life. And are you able to say, I'm the salt of the earth? Or there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. You see, the presence of a child of God in a family should enable peace to be realized. Your presence in that gathering as we go into December. Come on now. You know what I mean? Some of us come from big families and we do these gatherings in December. Is there peace in those gatherings? Now, in that WhatsApp group of the family group, who is most inclined to start arguments? You know what I mean? Sometimes they know the moment she posts, don't respond. The moment you see her posting, everybody goes quiet. Why? Because they know what will end up happening. What is going on here? I want you to know the Bible calls you the salt of the earth. You see, kingdom shapers carry the ministry of reconciliation. We carry the ministry of reconciliation. We must be that person who wants to bring peace. Our default should be to bring peace to the situation. You see, a child of God, a kingdom shaper, carries the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation. Somebody is sick at work. Is there something wrong with asking this person, can I pray for you? Why? Because you carry the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. This morning, the Lord is speaking to the treasure that you have. You find that because we're not reminded more often, we forget of the power that resides within us. We forget that people are dying waiting for solutions. Do you know that you don't lose anything by offering prayer? Sometimes we don't offer prayer for those who are sick because we are afraid of losing our reputation. Because you say, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? Are you the healer? Come on now. You are just a conduit. You are an instrument. You should not be able to explain everything. All you should do is to obey. That I'm ready to do your will. So I want you to know the moment there is something that's dropped in your heart about a sick person, go for it and pray for them. And leave everything to God. Step out in faith and say, I'll pray with you. I'll trust God with you. You pray for the person, you leave it there. You'll be amazed by how much God will do through your life. By simply stepping out and saying, it's not for me. You see, God wants to protect his name more than you want to protect his name. Let's give him a chance to do that. So I'm saying this morning, kingdom shapers carry the power of the Holy Spirit. The reason why we don't pray for our work environment, we minimize the power of our prayers. But the Bible tells us that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When you go to James chapter 5, you see there are demonic activities at work, but you haven't prayed for your work environment. You see that your boss, something is not going on well there. Or the person that reports to you, something is not going on well. You haven't prayed for them. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You see, kingdom shapers carry the mind of Jesus Christ. And therefore, they carry wisdom for solutions for the issues around us. You know, I sometimes work with complex situations. And from time to time, I take a back seat in my office and I pray for wisdom. And I say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this issue. I need wisdom. You see, the problem with believers is this. We have subdivided our lives. One portion is sacred, and this is what we're doing. This is holy. This is of God. This is where the Spirit of Jesus resides. And then you walk out of that door, you walk into spa, there it's secular. You walk into your office, there it's secular. No, we need to come against this dichotomous view to life. You are complete. You see, the same way that God is interested in his power being manifested here, he wants his power to be manifested out in the marketplace. Glory be to God. Business people, the Lord wants to show his power through your life, where you're doing business. You carry the mind of Jesus Christ. We therefore need to have a change, a renewed mindset concerning the work environment. You see, when you come to church, this is pep talk. You see, it's like a coach coming and encouraging you and spurring you on for another coming 5 days. The real deal is what we do out there. You see, the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 4 how God gave ministry gifts, some to be apostles, teachers, prophets, evangelists, pastors. Why? For the equipping of saints for the work of ministry. What we do out there is what we are equipped for. You are the salt of the earth. Now, if you've got a salt shaker at home, that salt is not good enough as long as it is in the salt shaker. The salt shaker is an instrument, but that instrument should enable salt to be spread where it is needed. So many of us as believers, we are contained in a salt shaker somewhere, and God is saying, you've got to sprinkle yourself out. You've got to put yourself out in the open. The scriptures are full of people that shaped their worlds. Think about Joseph. The Egyptians were non-believers. But when Joseph stepped into that environment, he said, I am a child of God. And God used him to shape the politics of Egypt. We can talk about Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. Babylon was a pagan nation. And yet these four Jewish boys, because they allowed themselves to be available to be used by God, the Lord used them in a mighty way. Daniel served six kings. And in the process, all the kings saw that there was only one God. Hallelujah, somebody. You are the salt of the earth. Number two, he identifies them as the light. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, saints, when you talk about light, we talk about everything that is good. We talk about guidance. We talk about the revealer of wickedness. And that is what Jesus meant when he said, you are the light of the world. You see, darkness is simply an absence of light. And when we talk about light, you cannot ignore light when light is present. It's impossible to ignore the presence of light. And this morning, I want you to know that's the impact you have as a child of God in that environment. You see, a lot of wickedness has perpetuated because the light bearers have not been present where they are needed. Do you think that we don't have Christians in our parliament? We do have. But so many times when the Lord has promoted us to our place of ministry and calling, we tend to forget. We tend to start rationalizing what we should say and what we should do. Why? Because we don't want to rock the boat too much. The reason why corruption has perpetuated in our work environment, it is because a believer in that environment has refused to stand out like a sore thumb. And the reason why we do that, we don't want to jeopardize our opportunity of promotion. The moment I tell my boss that this is wrong, I might not be promoted. But do you know what the word of God says? The Bible says promotion neither comes from the east nor from the west, but it comes from the Lord, the one who raises one man and brings down another man. I want you to know the moment you stand for God, God will promote you. And what God has promoted, no man can pull down. Glory be to God. You see, when man promotes you, man can demote you. But when God promotes you, man cannot demote you. So it's a win-win with God. That is one of the reasons why us as Christians, we have not come to that place of being radical when it comes to the things of God. You know, I work with people from different religions. And I've got one senior that I work with, one of my clients. This man, without failure, when he comes to work in the morning, he would have prayed at home. At 12 p.m., whatever meeting is going on, this man will say, "Please excuse me for my prayers." This man will roll up his sleeves. I'm talking about an old man here. Roll up his sleeves, pull up his pants, goes into the loo, washes his feet, and he rolls his mat and he prays. Even if it's for 2 minutes. But he does it without failure. This man is a Muslim. This man is fully convinced about his walk. But us believers, the bearers of light, the bearers of the truth, we are not able to open our mouth and to declare the oracles of God. What is going on here? There are some things that need to shift if we are to be the light of the world. Shops are closed every Friday at 12. Certain shops. Why? They're praying. I don't remember. I've never seen it where a believer's shop is closed at a certain time for prayers. We don't do that. But these guys will tell you, "Sorry, it is prayer time." And nobody fights them. But Bazalwane, when we run our businesses, we cannot even put a scripture on the wall of our business walls. Well, yeah, well, they would think that we are too radical, or they would think we are not accommodating. No, we are missing the mark. Come on now, somebody. Does somebody hear me this morning? So, look at this. Isaiah 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Jehovah has risen on you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But Jehovah shall rise on you, and his glory shall be seen on you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawning. Arise and shine, for your light has come." Glory be to God. God has called you into different places. Are you rising up in your area of calling? Is your voice being heard in your area of calling, in your area of passion? It doesn't matter what it is. Your passion, your calling is sacred before God. And the Lord is saying, darkness shall cover the whole earth. Confusion covers the whole earth, especially in this season of COVID, where nobody knows where we are going. They talk about the fourth wave and the fifth wave. How many waves are we going to have? But I want you to know, the glory of the Lord will rise upon his people. And the nations shall go to the light and to your dawn. We are peddlers of hope. In this situation, even if fifth wave comes, a believer should be able to still give hope to their environment. Does somebody hear me this morning? Number three, the last symbol of our identity is a city on a hill. You are a city on a hill. You see, a city on a hill is so impossible to ignore. It's impossible because it's elevated, it's high up. A city on a hill symbolizes authority and a point of reference. You see, you carry authority as a child of God. Did you know that? You carry authority to shape your environment. And you should become the benchmark. I remember back in the days, Ford used to produce the Ford Focus benchmark. Do you know it, guys? You don't know the benchmark? Okay, anyway. I'm talking about you are the reference point. You see, in your work environment, when they're looking for the standard, when they're looking for grace and ability, they should point to you. Why? Because you're the reference point. You see, a city on top of a hill is used as a reference point for people passing by. So they will be told, listen, as long as the city on the hill is on your right-hand side, you're on the right direction. The reference point. You have authority over situations. Look at Matthew 16, verse 19. Jesus, after Peter had given this great revelation about who he is, you know, verse 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven to do what? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The right reading there is, whatever you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. Remember, at this point, the Lord was busy establishing the church. And he was telling the apostles that I will allow you to put ordinances in place. I will allow you to determine what should be done in the house of God. How things should be done. And whatever you allow, it will be allowed. Now, that's the authority that we operate with. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you disallow will be disallowed. And therefore, in your household, and there's sickness that comes up all the time, you have authority to draw a line and say, no more. I'm not going to allow this to continue. This has to come to an end in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's draw down our teaching this morning. Now, having outlined this amazing identity of a helper, of a shaper, it is important to understand that shapers face major challenges in trying to live out this identity. I wish it was easy to be the light of the world. I wish it was easy to be the salt of the earth. Alas, it's not easy. Otherwise, all of us here would be that. All of us will be effective lights. All of us will be effective salt. But there are challenges that shapers come across. So let's look at the pitfalls of a kingdom shaper. Pitfalls of a kingdom shaper. Go with me to verse 13 of Matthew. It says here, you are the salt of the earth. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and to be trodden underfoot by man. The number one pitfall of a kingdom shaper is the loss of his or her savor. The loss of his or her savor. If you can give me the next slide, please. It is possible. You start off well as the life giver. But in the process of life, you lose your ability to give life. Many believers have started well. They started well. But in the process of giving life, they lose their savor. They lose their ability to be that salt. You see, life happens. And as you go about doing what God has called you to do, you experience what I call leakages. You experience pushbacks. There are many people who used to be in ministry, but because ministry has wounded them so much, they are sitting. And that is a danger for a shaper. Where you've started well, but because life has happened to you, you throw your hand in the air. Are you one of those this morning? Because without realizing it, you lose your saltiness. You become bitter. You become easily agitated. You become an enemy to the very people you are meant to serve. When there's gossiping in the corridors of power, you become part of the story. What is going on here? You've been doing well, but life has happened. I want you to know that the day that you choose to come out of the salt shaker, there will be pushbacks. you will experience challenges. Anyone that has jumped out and wanting to be that one person that stands for righteousness, they will face persecution. You will be unpopular. You know, the Lord Jesus said, if they do this to a tree that is fresh, how much more to a dry tree? If they did this to your master, how much more to his servants? Saints, I want you to know God is calling us to do something that we cannot do by ourselves. We need God to remain salty. We need God to remain relevant to what he has called us to do. Now, what this means is that every shaper needs to know how to replenish themselves. You need to know how to feed yourself. I need to know how to feed my spirit man so that I'm able here, Sunday in, Sunday out, to give life. Look at this, James 4, verse 13. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus had asked her to give her some water, to give him some water. And this woman was like, no, I'm not going to give you water. And then Jesus says, you should actually ask me of water. Now look at this, verse 13. And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Saints, you need to know how to drink from Jesus. The reason why you're no longer being salty, it is because the connection with Jesus is not what it's supposed to be. The amount of time you've been spending with the life giver is not enough to replenish you to be able to give life every single morning when you go to work. Jesus said to her, if you drink that water, you will remain thirsty. But if you drink this water, you will thirst no more. Out of your belly, life-giving waters will flow. Saints, if we are to remain salty, we need to check our relationship with Jesus. We need to check how much time we spend with him. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more we are able to give of Jesus to the world around us. You see, when you spend more time with Jesus, you don't strive in doing ministry. You rest because it is coming from a well of life. You rest in the presence of Jesus and he gives you the ability to give life. Now put this down. You cannot give what you don't have. And you cannot receive. You cannot have unless you receive. So you need to spend time with Jesus in order to receive from him to pass on the life. Glory be to God. Look at John 15 verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. How are you doing with Jesus? I want you to know the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you carry the burden of Jesus. The more you cannot just afford to sit back and just say, I'll just go on in life. You start asking Jesus, what would you have me do? Jesus, how would you want me to do this? The more you spend time with the Father, the more you have the burden of the Father on your heart. The Lord Jesus was telling his disciples and these Pharisees, he said, what I see my Father do, I do. So when you see the burden on the heart of the Father, you cannot live your life anyhow. It's no longer about how comfortable you are or how convenient it is. It's about the pleasure of one. It's about the Father. Glory be to God. Number two, and then we are done. The second pitfall for shapers, loss of interest and being disengaged. That is our issue. The reason why the church is not moving with the momentum it should, the reason why the church is not being impactful, it is because more of us are no longer interested in the things of church. We are no longer interested in the things of heaven. We are so fixated with our lives that the things of heaven have taken a back seat. You then end up having two people carrying the weight of 100 people. What is going on here? Disinterested, disengaged. You see, everyone that works gets tired at some point. Can I tell you that? When you lead worship here for weeks without end, you're going to get tired. When you preach without end, you're going to get tired. When you encourage people at work, you're going to get tired. And when you are tired, the danger that comes is disengaging. It is pulling back. It is saying, I'm done. When fatigue sets in the life of a shaper, the shaper becomes disinterested. The shaper no longer comes for prayer. The shaper is tired. The shaper is no longer fasting as he used to. The shaper is tired. Matthew 5:15, he says, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure. When a shaper is tired and disengaged, he is hiding his light. Do you know it takes a lot to engage a spiritual conversation with an unbeliever? Whenever I try and do it, I feel like I have to draw a lot out of myself to start a spiritual conversation. Now, if you've been working flat out the whole week, you don't want to talk to nobody. You pray that nobody comes to sit next to you in a taxi. Because the Holy Spirit will start nudging you and nudging you. Talk to him. Talk to him. And you're like, I just want to doze a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But after a full-on week, on a Saturday, I'm peopled out. I don't want anyone next to me. I just want to do my thing. Listen to music. Go watch Netflix. Come on now. This is what happens when a shaper is tired. A shaper can get tired. But may the Lord give us strength. The Bible says those who wait upon the Lord shall run without getting weary. They'll mount up on wings like an eagle. Glory be to God. We've got to replenish, hallelujah, so that we go back to the field. The Lord Jesus understood that there was a time to rest and there was a time to go back in the field. You've got to measure yourself. You've got to pace yourself and say, in this season, the Lord wants me to pull back. But after pulling back, you need to launch back again. Hallelujah. Our problem is we have a lot of shapers who have pulled back for years without end. When are you coming back in the fold? Hello, somebody. When are you going to say, Pastor, I am here, I want to serve the Lord? Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. We take sabbaticals, that's okay. And I'm for that. That is why our church is not heavy top on programs, so that nobody gets burnt out. But what I've found with our church is, the less programs we have, the less people want to be involved in the few programs we have. Can I go there? Hello, somebody. Let me open a bracket here. There are churches where there are prayer meetings 5 times a week. 5 times a week prayer meeting on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In here, we pray Sunday morning for prayer where 2-3 people attend. And then we come together once every month at the end of the month for Ignite, and nobody pitches up. Hello? Can somebody say, Pastor, I hear you. I'm talking about lighting, putting the light and putting it under the bushel. There is a time to pull back, but there's a time to launch out again. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to launch his net again. Remember when Jesus came to Peter and he says to Peter, have you caught anything? And Peter says, Master, I've been fishing all night long and there's nothing here. And Jesus says, launch on the right-hand side of the boat. And Peter says, I've done it so many times, but because you said it, I will launch out. And the Bible says he had a big catch. There is a time where the Lord will force you back into the fold. Maybe it's right now. Hallelujah. Why are we talking about this? Verse 16 of Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The last point, and you have it on the slide. Shapers don't shape things for themselves, but for the glory of God. That's where we leave it this morning. We don't do what we do for our names, for our own, you know, accolades. Brothers, you can come and play. You know, we do it for the glory of God. It says here, let your light so shine. I have a choice this morning. And the Lord Jesus was not forcing them. He was saying, choose. Let your light so shine before men, so that your good works can be seen by all, that your Father might be glorified. How much glory is your life bringing to God? How much glory is your life bringing to God? When I do things for myself, there isn't much glory that goes to God. But when I sacrifice, when I lay down my life for another, the Father is glorified. What are you doing to be the salt of the earth? What are you doing to be the light of the world? What are you doing to be that reference point as a shaper? I want you to pray for yourself right now and say, Lord Jesus, awaken in me this life. Awaken in me, oh God. I want to shape. Lord, I know there are things that I should be doing, but I haven't been doing. Please forgive me. You know, there's a place where the Bible says, if you know the good that you should do and you don't do it, to you it is like a sin. May the Lord help us to do the good that we know we should do. May the Lord help us to stand out and to be that light. So please, let's pray. Pray for yourself. Yes, Father God, in the name of Jesus.